What's going on, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? My name is Kieran, and thank you so much for joining me on this episode of StarCast. My name is Gabriel. You know me as Kieran. Joined by my co-hosts, Dale and Mike. Ryan has not arrived just yet, so we're hoping he jumps in, but that's who we've got today. Just want to remind you guys, make sure to follow me for updates on the show at It's Kieran on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And after this live airing of StarCast Episode 2, it's going to be available at the links below, Anchor FM, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Those links are provided in the description. That being said, let's get into it, guys. All right, we are live.
Cool.
So I guess we'll just kind of wait. If Ryan does jump in, maybe we can save that serial killer thing for the end. And then if not, we can, you know, throw it in next week.
Would you like me to serenade you with some more Big Iron?
No, don't do that.
That's going to be a good tier list video at some point. Anyways, so I guess we can jump into what we left off on last week, which was the technological singularity. This is a thing that Michael is a lot more of an expert in than me, but I think it'll
be... The only thing you need to know about the technological singularity is that AI is going to kill us all. Mike, your turn.
Essentially, yeah, I mean...
I mean, hopefully. God, please. So, yeah, the... It's quite a thing, and the reason it's called singularity is essentially the idea that we won't be able to really predict what happens after it. So, I mean, the very idea is that we don't really fucking know, but very probably within our lifetime, we will reach the point where computers and AI and our technology in general will outpace the human brain, particularly in the ability to create computers of their own. So if you have a computer designing a better computer than itself, that will then make a better computer still, you see how it gets exponential, and God knows what happens, you know, in a very short time after that. And that's ultimately the issue, is what happens when you start seeing this exponential rise in technology, in AI, that just renders humans completely irrelevant. You know, we'll have AI that are unfathomably more intelligent than us, that are able to do things we can hardly even imagine. Technology that we probably won't even understand will start popping up. And yeah, it's pretty intimidating, because humans have not shown a great track record when using extremely powerful forces.
Well, I think that it could ultimately result in like two different outcomes. You know, either they're going to throw us by the wayside and like try to eliminate humans, or do you think that they're going to help us? Like, it's intimidating, well, depending on what you think they're going to do with their new, like, increasing exponential intelligence.
The thing is, these AI that we're talking about, they wouldn't be the ones to overthrow us, because they probably wouldn't have any, like, sense of self, really. They wouldn't be sapient. They wouldn't think like us. It's not like the movies where they have, for some reason, some drive to, you know, they didn't evolve. They don't have those evolutionary instincts of self-preservation or growth. Those AI, that would, the singularity AI that we would probably put in charge of like an entire country or something, that the danger is entirely human. It's, you know, one country using it to undermine another, and how do we abuse that power that comes with them? Like, with that, sure, we probably could make some synthetic people, you know, artificial human minds that could be smarter than us and everything. And those could say, like, well, why do we need the old meat bags? But those would still be inferior to the grand, completely inhuman AI. So
they're going to, so we think that they're going to, like, I don't know, evolve is probably not the right word, but they're going to get this, like, surpass us and, you know, get this exponential intelligence, but they're never going to develop a conscience, per se?
Well, there's no reason. Actually, it would probably make them less efficient to have, like, emotions and and, you know, like personal drives and biases, that it just would interfere with their ability to process and think. They're just tools in the end, those kind of AI. So you know, you'd optimize it, and they'd probably have a, you know, good understanding of human psychology, probably better than our own, but
so what, so I'm wondering then, if they don't have like a conscience, like what would guide, I guess, like only logic then would guide how they treat us then?
It's entirely dependent on how we set it up. If we, mm-hmm. if what we tell it like is our goal, if it's supposed to understand humans as best it can and use that knowledge to make us as happy as it can, you know, then you have something that's trying to work in our benefit, understanding how we would feel about certain things. And that's important, because all these like doomsday scenarios in sci-fi you see are like, oh, you know, we told it to solve our problems, but it decided killing all of us would be that, you know, ideally an AI would understand that we would not want that.
Yeah.
You know, I that's part of the issue with describing these kind of AI is it's, we have no idea how they would think or operate and what kind of solutions they would choose. Because it wouldn't be something so extreme or dramatic as people often like to imagine.
So how far off do you think we are from this?
I'd give it between 2045 to 2060.
That soon, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's very likely within our lifetime. It depends on a few things. Could be a lot sooner. Hard to say. You know, everyone's always speculating like 20 years down the line. But it's just the real danger of it is the human elephant. And I'm pretty critical when it comes to how we would deal with it. Like, we could either use the tech to, you know, solve a lot of our problems and make life generally better for everyone, or it will just spiral out of control. And, you know,
I guess it just depends on like who gets their hands on it first, really, and what their goals are.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I don't exactly trust the Chinese government with an AI like this.
Oh, definitely not.
I also think that if we do not destroy ourselves with it, we absolutely should replace our government with these kind of AI, because I don't think humans are really responsible enough to make their own decisions.
Well, yeah, I mean, even like the most quote-unquote unbiased people in like the top echelons of government still kind of seem to make decisions based on like left or right or like emotions. If we threw them in there, they'd make it like more based on logic, just how things should be. Obviously,
we're limited in perspective, and we're so dumb. Honestly, we're just inherently dumb. So we need to make something smarter than ourselves to do the heavy lifting, and something that has no personal interest or stock of their own, just only cares about the interest of others.
That would be good. Yeah, I think we're a lot dumber than we think we are, like as a collective.
Humanity is absolutely clever and brilliant, but we're also a bunch of dumb monkeys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm utterly in favor for the AI uprising. Please, robotic overlords, clean up this mess.
Just lay down and just take it. It'll be interesting, I think.
But there's also, like, the other complications that come from these kind of things is, say, the automation issue is something that I'm hearing talked about more, and it's good to hear people consider it. But, you know, what do we do with a population that is no longer important? When people don't have jobs because they're inferior to robots, to AI, what do we do with people? What do we do with ourselves?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was worried about, to where, like, you know, if the AI overlord, so to speak, you know, surpass us, like, I don't know how we would because if they're going to, like, grow to be smarter than us and, like, build upon themselves, I feel like it doesn't matter if we program them to care about us and have our best interests in mind, because I feel like that's just going to get overwritten at some point. And then what are they going
to
do whenever, like, we...
It would have to override that.
That's true. So, I mean, it would depend on if they had a goal that was more important, but then I feel like if they had they would have to have some sort of conscience to have a goal, right?
Yeah, like, that's the issue, is when you try to imagine these kind of things, we think about it through a selfish lens of a biological creature, but ultimately, it's just however it is set up from the beginning will affect its overall, like, trends. So yeah, we can't put a whole ton of strict rules on it because it would outgrow a lot of those rules as needed. We would just want to give it the right direction and the right push in the right direction, because ideally it wouldn't have reasons to go against that. If it's only ever been trying to become better at making people happy, there's no reason for it to question that if it's not sapient at all.
Well, I think the thing that's interesting about that is we have no way to perceive like what it would be like to make decisions based solely on like logic, like the whole like we put ourselves in their shoes, that idiom, like we can't do that to something that operates solely off of like computer based
it wouldn't logic anything like us.
Yeah, so like we have like no way to even know for sure like how it would operate, like, or also, what it would do.
It's also on such a colossal scale. Is like have you heard a lot of the stories involving like how big data can be used and the kind of patterns that evolve out of these like mass amounts of numbers?
Not particularly, no.
So it's always like an interesting subject, and it's one I don't even remember how the like validity of the story, but I often use it just as an example. Was the Target advertisements that I believe the story goes, a father was getting really upset at Target because his teen daughter was getting advertisements, like tailored custom advertisements for baby clothes and baby related stuff.
Oh, I did hear about this from Vsauce. Yeah, and so basically Target, from all the stuff that she was buying, knew that she was pregnant before her dad did.
Yeah, and unrelated to actual, it was like unscented or scented soaps.
Yeah.
Those patterns exist, but we don't have any idea why they exist or that they're there at all. But a AI could see that.
Right.
And so when you talk about an AI that, say, we put in charge of everything, in charge of a government, it will, you know, we'd want to give it as much data as we could. And it would presumably find patterns like that that we couldn't even imagine and be able to change things in society in ways we can't even perceive on just tiny little subtle shifts, you know?
Right.
So, like, who knows the actual depth and reach that such a AI could have? And so it could be scary to think about as giving that all the power, but honestly, I'm more concerned about humans who have a considerably worse track record so far.
Yeah, we're not doing so hot, I don't think.
As far as I'm concerned, if it's a 50-50 coin flip between the apocalypse and utopia, we should flip that coin as soon as we can.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, if we keep going down the path that we're going down right now, like, it's not like it's going to end much better. So, I mean, I'd rather just take that chance. Because I feel like if we just keep doing what we're doing and just take AI, you know, evolving itself out of the question, we're just going to fuck ourselves in a matter of decades anyways. So I feel like I'd rather just take that chance. Like, well, you know, if we essentially have nothing to lose at this point.
Do you have anything to add, Dale? I know you're very against having an AI breathing down your neck.
AI fed boy can suck this dick.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No gods, no masters.
The AI uprising's going to be a permitted, like, generally welcome thing, and then it's going to have to wage a war against people like Dale, who
pretty
are
much
going to start bombing server clusters.
I don't know. All I know for sure is that the human race sucks ass. So
it does.
If there is the potential for something to do better than us, then, you know, hey, have at it, champ.
I'm very conflicted because I'm very humanist in a lot of ways about we are the best there is, but we are also shit, which is why we need to improve upon ourselves.
It's like the cleanest. It's like the cleanest garbage in the dumpster, essentially. The freshest garbage in the dumpster.
That's the second stage of AI uprising. Once we have supreme techno daddy that runs all of our civilization, then we start, you know, uploading consciousness or something.
Never say that again.
What, techno daddy? I'm sorry, does that upset you?
Mildly.
That's gonna be a merch line for sure.
Techno daddy. Supreme techno daddy.
God almighty. No, but that's like something we're already starting to do. I've seen some like headlines about uploading consciousness. I know we touched on that last week, but Like,
it's.
I feel like that whole head transplant thing is like the beginning of that, is it not?
It's a bit different because, I mean, that you're thinking of basically putting a brain in a jar,
yeah.
which is still a human brain. It's still fleshy, and it will still age and die eventually.
Right.
You know, when I think of uploading, I actually moreover think of copying the contents of our brain into a computer. The meat sack will still be alive, but there will also be a digital equivalent.
I'm wondering how they would even... Because they're, like, actually talking about that, like it's a thing that's going to happen relatively soon, and I'm wondering how we would even go about doing that, because...
Copying the brain?
Yeah, because...
Well, we're getting better brain scans. The issue is reproducing it on a good
right.
medium.
Yeah,
I am proud of my creation.
What the hell is
God
that?
Help us. I was wondering what you were typing for so long. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I don't know, like the head transplant is like just kind of the start of it, but because whenever I was doing some research, oh God, you're able to pin messages. Good Lord.
I am.
Whenever I was kind of like looking into it, I think Vsauce did like a YouTube Red episode on it, or it was like a segment of it or something like that, that like memories and stuff, like memories are not localized to one part of the brain.
That
so,
is
like,
a big problem.
That's
a
big issue. Yeah, like it's kind of difficult to
lasso
them up and put them. And it's not like you can, like, what is the medium that you use to put that on a storage device? You can't like shove a thumb drive into someone's brain. Like, how
yeah,
do you even go about doing that?
Electronics are not in their correct format to handle that. And we are experimenting with more artificial neurons and more elastic mediums of storage.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's largely, the architecture that's limiting us and the ability to put that many neurons in a single space. Like, we could simulate a lot of neuron connections in normal electronics. And we keep getting better at that. We are working better at adapting, like, you know, converters, so you could control brain chips or something. You give the disabled abilities to use computers and stuff through the brain.
Right.
That's all good. But right now, we don't have the storage medium mostly.
Now, do you think, because I think we were talking about this in the Discord call earlier, I feel like it'd be a good thing to expand upon. So, if everybody had this ability to, like, let's say we're not limited by, you know, economics or anything like that, and everybody's just able to live forever by uploading their consciousness or even, like, just becoming fully bionic, like, do you think that we would ever develop the kind of technology to go to other star systems and things like that, like we were talking about last week?
Well, if we were immortal, then we already have the technology to go to other star systems. You just have to wait.
Ah, that's a good point. I feel
that's
like...
probably the more realistic perception, because again...
if we become functionally immortal, then we've won.
Yeah, we have won.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say like we already have the technology, because there is like a finite time limit to the universe. Like, do you think we would be able to do something?
Practically, there's
something
not.
Like...
I mean,
something like create
easily.
Yeah.
But...
like, do you think we would develop the intelligence to create something like the Alcubierre drive or something like that before the heat death of the universe?
The issue is that just might not be possible. Like, there are some things that no matter how good technology gets, might just not be possible. And granted, that's based off of what we currently know.
Based
but...
on what we currently know and based on our current laws of physics that we as a human species have, you know, documented. Do you think that at some point, if we lived long enough, we would like rewrite the laws of physics? Like, let's say, like, there's a new speed limit to the universe or things like that.
The thing is, physics gets a lot more particular the more you look at it. So ultimately, the issue is the laws we observe now, the physics we observe now, we know to be generally broadly true. And in ways that they're proven wrong, or we know they're not accurate, are more particular circumstances. So things are always going to get more precise, more specific in how we actually define the universe. But a lot of the physics are still going to be broadly true.
Right.
And expecting everything we know, absolutely everything, to be fundamentally wrong is a bit of a leap. And it's possible, but it just
so
doesn't seem
so like there'll be like little like wiki edits essentially, but there's never going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know
like
how
one giant...
how quantum mechanics and gravity connect.
Right.
And that's very important, but that's not going to change all of the laws of gravity and all the laws of quantum physics.
Right.
Exactly. It's just going to figure out where that like bridge is, where that specific instance is, and that usually that governs, you know, extreme things like black holes and dark matter, you know, those kind of gaps that they're extreme circumstances. They're not the normal.
Yeah.
And that's what I should say we should expect. I'm not optimistic that something so fundamental like the speed of light will ever be surpassed, which is a shame.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer because even, like, I guess it if we become immortal, then it's just a matter of, like, waiting. Like, we'll just, cryogenically, like, freeze ourselves. But, like, it is kind of a shame that it'll take, you know, like, hundreds of thousands of years to get anywhere. Even if we manage to move at the speed of light, which is, as we know it, not possible for anything with mass.
99%.
Yeah. It would still take us like hundreds of thousands of years to get to, you know, any of these places that could like possibly sustain life, things like that. It is kind of a bummer, but we could do something like, you know, like I said, like cryogenically freeze ourselves. That's a thing, that we're actually doing now. People that have some exorbitant amounts of money in lieu of the funeral are literally, liquid nitrogen freezing themselves, either their whole body or their brains, for a point in the future where they can be resurrected, so to speak, in a new
vessel. Which is a cool
vessel.
Idea. But
it is neat. I mean, yeah. Shit, man. If I had the money, I probably would do that.
It's actually not that expensive to like keep a brain frozen.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're just doing your brain, I know some of these people are trying to keep their whole bodies, which I don't think like biologically is possible. The tissue is going to die no matter what at some point. I think you're just prolonging it.
Yeah. I think the issue is ultimately biology, you know.
Yeah.
Biology
is the limiting factor to fucking everything. I mean,
yeah, it's crap. We're silly meatbags that are inferior.
Cuz if you look at like how much of a freaking computer that the human brain is, it just kind of sucks that it's limited by this biology that lives at max, you know, 120 years.
Now, if we were artificial, that opens up some fun ideas, because time is entirely relative at that point. You can overclock yourself.
Yeah.
You can, which is, it's a fun thought, because, I don't know, you want to go to the next star over, slow your clock speed down so massively that it just feels like 5 minutes and you're in the next star over. Or alternatively, you can speed up in over the course of 5 seconds and experience, you know, something like 8,000 times the length of time.
But then if it's like relative, like, you know, God help you if you have anybody that you like any loved ones or anything that you leave behind, like what is 5 minutes to you is 20,000 years to them, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they could always slow down their clock speed and come as well.
Yeah, or if that's at the point that we have become immortal with, you know, uploading our conscious, then I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows? And maybe you'll move in big ships or something.
Wait, so you're telling me I could slow down my clock speed and bust a nut and have said busted nut last for 1,000 years?
I mean, yeah, I guess the...
technical singularity when...
Apple.
You would only experience it for, you know, you could have out externally, you would be busting your nut for like 1,000 years, but you'd only experience it for about the same amount of time.
That's perfectly okay.
We're really getting into the deep questions here, I think.
Oh yeah, and like I could take the subject quite a bit further. Like when it comes to really going long term, if you're a bunch of, you know, computer brains, then you establish yourself around a black hole with like a red dwarf or something star and feed matter into the black hole to produce energy, and you will way outlive the like rest of the heat death of the universe. Like you will be around for trillions and trillions of years.
Interesting.
you could really make that shit last.
So, I don't know. I guess that's pretty much, does that pretty much cover everything we can talk about with that?
I mean, moment? No, but I don't want to be completely talking about everything. And Dale's been very quiet, so.
Dale, do you have anything you'd like to bring to the table?
Not on this subject, no. I already said my piece about it.
I mean, any other subjects before I move on to the next thing?
No, I'm good.
So, I want to talk about, I guess the thing that I'm bringing is, I guess, broadly speaking, psychology experiments, unethical or otherwise.
Oh boy, let me tell you about MKUltra. Gather around, kids.
That's what I'm getting to. So does anybody probably know more about this than I do that would like to start us off?
Sure, Dale does.
Right. So MKUltra was the CIA's mind control program, and the code name was MKUltra. And the CIA, being the absolute shitters that they were trying to develop drugs to control people and basically create sleeper agents. Like, they also used a bunch of different techniques, such as psychoactive drugs. Like, they would just straight up load somebody up with a fuckload of LSD. Like, a nearly lethal amount of LSD. I'm not talking like a single tab like you would get nowadays, but like a half liter.
Jesus.
I seem electroshocks, fucking hypnosis therapy, sensory deprivation chambers, isolation, verbally abusing them, molesting the shit out of them, torturing them. And if I remember correctly, at its peak, there was over 80 different institutions working on it, including colleges, hospitals, prisons were really big on it. There was pharmaceutical companies actually really interested in the products, or not the products, but the processes and the effects.
See, I seem to remember like that it wasn't very well organized, and that there were times where they were just slipping LSD into like an office's coffee pot or some shit, like just doping random people for no good reason.
No, that was more of that was a bit of Project Artichoke, but Project Artichoke was when they also slipped just random ass people stuff, and I believe no, MK Naomi was about chemical weapons if I remember correctly. But they did also, in MKUltra, just randomly give out shit to people. But a lot of it was done in institutional facilities, like prisons and hospitals. But you are correct that it was not particularly well organized. So, and that's why it ended up being brought to the public attention, is because the Church Committee of the Congress figured out about it and actually made a statement about it.
It seems like it didn't, like, come to the public eye until, like, a little while after it was closed down, too.
Yeah, most of the work was halted around 1967, but it was officially halted in 73 or 74. 73, I believe.
Now, was it or was it not based on the good old Nazi and Japanese experiments? Because I've heard connections to it.
According to an author, his name was Kinzer, something Kinzer, I don't remember exactly.
I'd excerpt from him, actually.
But it was a continuation of the work started by the Japanese and Nazi concentration camps, because they were focused on subduing and controlling humans. Which was why they had also used mescaline. Because the Nazis had tried that in Dachau.
I also saw they have kind of like a little bit of a list here of like some of the other things that they use, because it was about like sleeper agents too, but then I think they were using some of this stuff to try to like almost like truth serum, so to speak, for interrogation.
Yes. That was...
which I know that I read about one of these medications. I don't remember which one. The one that's kind of crazy here, though, if you know anything about, like, state-sanctioned, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, execution. One of the things that they used on these people was sodium pentothal, which is the first ingredient in in euthanasia. It basically, like, is like a sedative. It basically puts you into, like, a medical-induced coma, at which point they would use something else to shut down your organs. So I'm wondering what they were trying to achieve with that.
But, probably just a humane way to kill people without a humane way of testing it.
Yeah.
Project Chatter was similar. That was a program by the Navy right after the end of World War II. They were trying to identify and test drugs that could be used in interrogations and... in recruiting of like spy agents and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
They would use synthetic, natural, and like artificial, whole bunch of different stuff, chemicals during interrogations to try and extract the truth out of people. They were trying to make a truth serum, basically. If I remember correctly, they used mescaline in that as well, scopolamine, and... something that had to do with tobacco, if I remember correctly. There wasn't a whole lot of information about it, but it didn't last all that long. They ended up canceling it like right after the Korean War, I think, just because they realized it wasn't really working. But the one fun thing I remember about it is where it was operating. It was operating under the direction of a dude named Savage, Charles Savage, in Bethesda, Maryland.
Interesting.
So your creators of Fallout have probably been doped up on mescaline.
Well, that explains a lot about their recent games. 16 times the detail. No, but and like a lot of this shit was like not, they did not abide to like any informed consent laws like at all.
Oh, I mean, no, they absolutely did not.
I mean, they are the law, so yeah, you know, whatever, like they're not gonna get
the only reason these were even found out about is again because of come on, brain, work with me, because the church committee made a report to the public specifically titled United States President's Commission on CIA Activities Within the United States, also known as the Rockefeller Commission.
Yeah, because this Richard Helms guy, the director of the CIA, he ordered the destruction of all of this shit. And
yeah, because he was trying to hamper the investigation, because, I mean, he'd be basically tried for crimes against humanity.
Essentially,
how,
yeah.
I recall it working is they basically got a free pass to do whatever and don't report it to their superiors, even though the superiors would very much have to do something if it was reported to them, you know? It was very much a situation of if they don't ask, don't tell them, and nobody gets in trouble.
I think one of the most fucked up parts about MKUltra, even though the entire thing was really fucked up, was in 2018, some documents were declassified, and among them was a letter to a doctor whose name wasn't released, discussing how they had put remote control brain implants into dogs and tried to control them with radio waves.
Yeah, I have like the info up here. I was just about to mention that, actually. That's pretty crazy to me how recently that was put out as opposed to everything else that was declassified. Yeah. Like, that's crazy that made its way out.
We can thank the Freedom of Information Act for uncovering most of it, because if I remember, they pulled out something like 15 to 30,000 documents or some crap like that.
Yeah.
That hadn't been destroyed. Oh, no, it was 20,000 documents.
20,000. I'm wondering, like, what the ratio is of that compared to the shit that actually was destroyed.
God knows. And didn't they do most of the really serious shit, like, over shores, you know, in other countries?
Oh, probably.
They did do some shit in Canada, yes.
I would imagine Canada. That's fucking insane.
I recall reading somewhere that they did a lot of their really fucked up shit just somewhere else. Somewhere that they wouldn't have to report on anything they were doing.
Yeah, some people actually think that one of the goals of MKUltra and other projects that were similar to it was, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Manchurian Candidate, but that they were trying to make something like that. Now, whether or not that was true, who knows, but knowing the CIA, I wouldn't put that out the park.
What is this now? I'm not familiar with the movie.
You don't know a Manchurian Candidate?
No.
It's not just a movie. It's kind of become its own term.
It's also a book, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah. It's basically somebody who gets brainwashed into being something. It's kind of like a sleeper agent, but they would usually try and make them, like, a high-up politician or something like that.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's brainwashed and under, like, the secret control of a foreign power.
Yeah, like, 90% of the day, they would be completely normal, but, say, a phrase goes off or something, or they get administered a certain drug, they would completely change their personalities and their actions.
Yeah, so like a sleeper agent.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
The Winter Soldier was sort of a Manchurian Candidate.
Interesting.
And considering Gottlieb was involved with a lot of, like, potential assassinations in, like, the 50s and 60s, I wouldn't be surprised.
Project Naomi.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussing on how they could, say, kill Castro or Iraq generals and whatnot. I remember all of them, but I remember there was quite a few different ideas that he passed around on how to kill people that seemed to have been related to his research.
And Mike, you pointed this out earlier, I think, when we were talking about it, this one guy that was one of the, like, lead people in this. What the hell is his name? Gottlieb. His funny story about how he just returned to, like, normal-ass life after...
Oh, yeah, they just all have, like, these peaceful lives, like, and, you know, just die normally, you know, nothing, like, serious.
Fucking
or,
hilarious to me.
No consequences. It is kind of... where was that entry on Gottlieb?
I just found... I have it pulled up. So, he joins the CIA at 33. His name is Sidney Gottlieb, as a poison expert. He becomes known as the Black Sorcerer and the Dirty Trickster, and he supervised preparations of lethal poisons and drug experiments and mind control. I don't know what I would assume this guy would probably have something to do with Naomi then at that point, wouldn't he?
He was also, fun fact, he was also the CIA liaison to Lockheed when they were working on the U-2 spy planes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that here too. So this guy's, like, kind of all over this, like, top secret level stuff. And so after he does, like, all of this shit, he's, like, head of, like, you know, preparations of poison, and he has stuff to do with Naomi. And then apparently he retires. He retires in Virginia, where he raises goats, ate yogurt, and advocated peace and environmentalism.
Residing his ecologically correct home with him and his wife. They set up a leper hospital in India for a little while, you know, had a nice family, just died of, like, heart problems, you know.
This is the same man, mind you, that wanted to go to Fidel Castro's TV studio and spray it down with fucking LSD and thallium.
Oh my god, so maybe I can throw it to a quick break here in a minute, because you totally just, like, jump-started something in my brain. Have you ever heard of all the ridiculous assassination attempts by the U.S. on Fidel Castro? Like, some of them
Castro
sound...
Oh, yeah, that man...
Some of them sound, like, straight out of, like the fucking Wile E. Coyote cartoons.
I think the only man that was had been tried to be assassinated more and didn't succeed was fucking Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, we know of like 46 assassination attempts against Hitler, and every single one of them failed.
No, but some of them...
And Castro was... Man, was protected by the hand of God or something.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, but no. Some of... I just mean like some of the ways that we tried to assassinate him were fucking hilarious.
Absolutely insane.
I think one of them was... I think the one that was the funniest to me that was real was apparently we tried to lace his one of his cigars with like explosives. And apparently that was a real attempt that failed, I guess. But that one was hilarious to me. There were a couple of them. I guess we tried to poison his food, which is one of the more, you know, lame ones. I'm trying to find the entry for that because I know I read somewhere that was real.
We tried to assassinate him like several hundred times.
Yeah. 638 Ways to Kill Castro is a Channel 4 documentary film. I'm trying to find some of the fucking funny ones.
The man died of old age.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I'm not well read in history. Yeah.
He died of old age. He died in like 2016. Yeah. He just died not all
really?
That long ago.
Really? That's fucking wild. I'm under a rock. I'm sorry. That's crazy. The exploding cigar. They tried to spike it with they tried to spike it with botulinum toxin, actually. That's not explosive, but that's definitely an interesting way to kill the guy.
There was also the one time that the CIA hired the fucking mafia to poison Castro's ice cream, and they almost succeeded.
So
the fucking mafia.
I just have this.
And there was another one because Castro really enjoyed milk, and he also really enjoyed fucking diving. So America put a fucking bomb in a seashell.
I think you have the same list open that I do. I have this NBC.
No, these
article.
Are just ones I'm remembering.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that I was
just
about
just
to
so
say. They
fucking
they
amusing.
Yeah.
Now one I'd seen researching the MK Ultra was the poisonous fountain pen that had like a hidden needle in it.
Yeah, the poison pen idea, but if I remember correctly, they didn't go with that one because they were fucking too stupid to make it or something like that.
So apparently Fidel was a big fan of one of the female actors in James Bond, Merida Lawrence, and she was recruited, this actress, actress is the word, excuse me, she was recruited as an agent for the CIA, and tasked to assassinate him with toxic pills to put in his drink. And apparently she got cold feet and didn't do it. But they straight up recruited a fucking actress to assassinate Fidel Castro because he liked the James Bond movies.
Like the CIA in like the 50s, 60s were just a bunch of guys in a room smoking
cigars.
It just
cigars sounds
thinking,
like a cartoon.
How can we fuck it after this week?
It just sounds like a cartoon. Yeah, okay, so the fucking the poison pen is on this list too. That is beyond hilarious.
Actually, a lot of those, I think, were listed, not described, but I saw a lot of them on Gottlieb's page on Wikipedia.
Really?
Flipping through. Yeah, it mentioned, because he was behind a lot of those suggestions.
Yeah, Gottlieb was a bit of a dickhead.
Good old Gottlieb.
That's
yeah,
so
1960s, the Cuban Project. A proposed spraying Castro's television studio with LSD, saturating Castro's shoes with thallium to make his beard fall out.
To make his fucking beard fall out. What they were trying to do with the LSD was get him so high off his own fucking tits that he made a speech that was so stupid that the people would just get rid of him.
Why do they want to make his beard fall out, though? What was that going to achieve? I have that right here.
Credit him. Poisoned wetsuit.
Yeah, to decredit him.
An exploding conch shell.
Yeah, that's the one I was saying. As they put a bomb in a fucking seashell.
Try asking again later.
Like, the only thing they didn't try was just straight up dropping a bomb on his house at that
point.
That's
what I'm saying. I feel like they tried every kind of, like, wacky cartoon
and the thing
idea.
Is, Castro knew about a lot of them. He just did not give a fuck.
I would have been just pissing myself laughing. Like, you really, you disrespect me? You try to kill me that way with a fucking exploding shell?
Try to make my beard fall out?
My
dick move.
God bless. Well, we can call it an early episode if you guys want. I mean, I feel, well, we're at like 47 minutes right now. I mean, that's...
We're missing Ryan.
We're missing Ryan and like a whole nother topic. So, I mean, that's pretty respectable. We can just save this.
If we had Ryan here, he would talk about serial killers for you.
Yeah, like we're missing one of the people. Yeah, so like we can just save that for next week. And then, you know, I'll have some other topics to bring to the table. I don't know. I feel like this was not the best, I think, just because we're missing one of our elements here. But, you know, it is what it is.
So. While we're on the topic of assassinations, really quickly, let me bring up the most baller-ass man to have ever been potentially assassinated. Joseph Broz Tito. Stalin kept trying to kill him, right? He kept trying to assassinate him. He kept sending men to kill him. This is Stalin trying to kill this man. And Tito got fucking tired of it and sent Stalin a letter saying, "Stop sending people to kill me. We've already captured 5 of them, one of them with a bomb and another with a rifle. If you don't stop sending killers, I'll send one to Moscow and I won't have to send a second."
Jesus.
The president of Yugoslavia, wasn't he?
That man fought Hitler. He fought the U.S. He fought Stalin.
Just tired of everybody's
and then,
shit.
At his funeral, all of those people showed up to his fucking funeral.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Who is this person?
Joseph Broz Tito.
He was the president of Yugoslavia.
He kept the fucking Balkans at peace.
Who showed up to his, he died in 1980.
Yeah.
That God. Is fascinating. He looks like a badass.
I have seen that records of that letter several times, because, yeah.
Yeah. That man was a badass.
Trying to
he
find
was the leader of Yugoslavia.
That's fucking crazy.
Here's a picture of him just talking with the... North Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh. That's
yeah.
Interesting.
What a badass.
The man was a badass. Yes.
Need to read more on that. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, I guess we can call it there. I think it'll be kind of like more. I think we'll have a better episode next week if we can get the whole crew in. Because that was like, if I would have known Ryan wasn't going to be here, I would have prepared more, but it was kind of last minute. So hopefully we can. Yeah, it still worked out pretty well. Just ran. Came out to be a shorter episode. So.
I always talk more about Supreme Techno Daddy.
That's going to be coming out on the merch press, I swear to God.
I'm always down to talk about CIA drugging up communities with massive amounts of LSD in the drinking water.
Absolutely fascinating.
Somebody poisoned the water and all.
So, anyways, yeah, that will about do it. This has been StarCast Episode 2. A little bit impromptu as far as changing the topics and stuff around, but we made the most of it. Be sure to catch us on Anchor FM, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts for all of my iPhone people out there. Links provided to all of that in the description below. And make sure to follow me at It's Kieran on all of my socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for updates on the show. We will be live next week. Again, usual time, Saturday, 8 p.m. But stay live. Stay posted on all of my socials for any changes to that. That being said, this has been StarCast Episode 2 with my co-hosts here, Dale and Mike. And I will see you guys next week. Peace out, y'all.